Every year I get to the Parsha Shmini, this week's Parsha, and I like start again. I can't get away from Nadav Aviv. You know, the end of the Parsha is about kosher animals and birds. And so maybe that's why I can't get away from Nadav Aviv. That's the other possibility. So Nadav Aviv. I just want to tell you that Nadav Avihu are mentioned four times in the Chumash. Four different times in the Chumash, which you might say indicates that there's something important happened with Nadav and Avihu, even though it's not so obvious what it was. If you look at the sheet, on the second side of the sheet, see the three psukim at the bottom, or towards the bottom. Those three psukim, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Achrei Mot. This is the beginning of the parasha of Achrei Mot. And this is the parasha that discusses Yom HaKippurim. And in fact, we read this parasha on Yom HaKippurim. And what does the pasuk say? Achrei Mot, Shnei B'nei Aharon, B'kavadav B'nei Hashem, V'yamutu. So this is a benchmark. It's not only they died, but we remember that they died. Well, we go to do the Avodah on Yom HaKippurim. The second pasuk there is in Bamidbar. Vayamot Nadav Aviv b'nei Hashem v'hakrivam eish zara l'fnei Hashem. They died. Bakrivam eish zara. We'll talk about that word zara in a minute. I just want to make sure that you know that there are four occasions where this is mentioned. Eish zara, b'nei Hashem, b'mibar Sinai, uvanim lo yu lahem, ha'echahein el azav itamal, b'nei Aaron avihen. So Aaron had four sons, two died, and the other two sons became kohanim and followed in the footsteps of their father Aaron. B'mibar perek kavav, v'yamot, Nadav Avihu Bakrivam Eisarav Meshach. So from these psukim we learn two things. One is that somehow the Torah felt it was very important to mention Nadav Avihu on a variety of occasions. The second thing that at least two of these psukim say is that Bakrivam Eisarav. The word zara, like I'm just looking, we're not looking yet at Rashi, but we will. Eish zara. What's zara? What does that word mean? So, if you are the type of person who looks at a dictionary, so you might find that the word means foreign, unnecessary. Certainly not what you would expect, the zara. But we know that in Vayikra, there's a phrase in the book of Vayikra which was invented by the Torah to tell us that you can't do whatever you want. You can't live the way you want and also be included in Shomrei HaTorah, the people who keep the Torah. That phrase is Hazar Hakarev Yumat. The Tsar who comes close, he will be killed. We don't know if he'll be killed in Bid HaShamayim or be killed by Ba'aretz, but this idea that once there's a Beit HaMikdash, suddenly you've created Tsarut. You've created foreign, something foreign. That it doesn't belong. You can't come every place, you can't do everything. Are you raising your hand? I can't see so well, so you have to.
In the Mishnah, it's a non-Kohen.
What?
In the Mishnah, it's a non-Kohen.
It is a non-Kohen. No, I have one. This is fine. Look, you're right. Zar is the name of anybody who's in the wrong place, and the word. This word, Zar, is connected very much to the Beit HaMikdash.
that there are gvulot. There are limits. We'd like to talk about that today because the psychologist got us into that with our children, like you have to teach the children that there are limits. There are gvulot. But in the Torah, the limits and the gvulot, right, the boundaries are established by the Torah. There's certain things that you're allowed to do, and there's certain things you're not allowed to do. In which case, if Nadav Ve'Aviyu did something that you're really not allowed to do, then it doesn't seem to me to be such an extraordinary matter, or something that you would expect would be referred to four different times in the Torah. You know, here's the right thing, here's the wrong thing. They did the wrong thing. I mean, why is he different than Cain and Cain the Hever? Why is he different than Adam HaRishon who ate from the Eitz HaDaat? I mean, that's what an Aver is. I mean, what do we have to keep looking back at Nadav Ve'Aviyu in the book of Vayikra, in the book of Bamidbar? So let's look. Let's look on the first side. Let's see how this Avera is discussed, is explained in the Torah. So we'll try to explain it as we know, the Hebrew that we know, and then we'll look at Rashi, and then we'll look at the Rashbam. Okay? So the Pasuk says, it's the second source on the page. See, it says, Vayikra Perek Yud. Now look. So this is not a machta. A machta is a ya'eh. What do you call that in English?
Dust.
Yeah. But I don't mean a dustpan, but it looks like a dustpan. What? A censer. That's what they say. Right, King James. Censer. It contained coals. Hot coals. It was
a
fire pen. Nice. It was something that you used to transmit coals from the big fire to a little fire. That's so this is Vayikra Vayikhu Ish Machtato. So is that an aver? Did they do anything wrong? Not yet. Vayiknu b'hen esh. And they put in them a fire. I guess they don't mean, no, it doesn't mean a fire, but it means coals. Hot coals that could produce a fire. But that's what they put into the censer. Vayasimu aleha kitoret. What's kitoret? What? Right, incense. So the incense mixed with the coals produces the smell. Right? So that's, and that's called the kitoret. Vayakrivu lifnei Hashem eish zara. Now, what did they do? Oh, it's not perfectly clear. Vayakrivu lifnei Hashem eish zara. So we know that the ketoret was put, the real ketoret, the ketoret which was legitimate, was put on the mizbeach hazahav. Mizbeach hazahav, the golden mizbeach, which was inside of the Heichal, right? The Kodesh, what we call Kodesh, as opposed to the Kodesh Kodeshim. In the Kodesh Kodeshim, there was only, what was there in the Kodesh Kodeshim? What? The Aron. Only the Aron. Right? And the Aron had Badim. Badim. Badim are?
Poles.
The poles. The poles that were used to carry the Aron with. For some reason, everything else that was carried by poles, when you set it down, they took the poles out. But in the Aron, they left the poles in the Aron, and in fact, the poles designated a place. The place where the blood was spritzed on Yom HaKippurim is that place on the ground. In Bayit Sheni, just to finish the thought, Bayit Sheni, there was no Aron. The Aron disappeared. There was no Aron of Bayit Sheni. So how do they do the Avodah in Yom HaKippurim? They knew the place. How did they know the place? That was where the Evan Shtiya was. The Evan Shtiya is a stone. It was a stone in the ground, which is associated with the beginning, with the creation, with the Evan Shtiya. So, what did they do? They said, by Yakrivu lifnei Hashem eish zara. So, by Yakrivu is the word karov. Karov lifnei Hashem. Where's karov lifnei Hashem? The Mizbeach Hazahav. That's inside the Kodesh. Right? They went inside. That's lifnei Hashem. Lifnei Hashem maybe is the parochet that divides up the Kodesh from the Kodesh Kodashim. Right? I want to tell you, if you learn Parshat HaShavua every week for the next 20 years, you'll get this. You'll know exactly what was happening. But it takes 20 years. Listen. Yakrivu eish zara, eish zara, asher lo tziva otav. Now, that sounds like a redundancy, doesn't it? In other words, by definition, zara means that's not what you're supposed to do. That's not what God commanded. So why does the pasuk add and say asher lo tziva otam? Asher lo tziva otam. But we have some idea of what happened, right? They brought a ketoret that was not demanded by the Torah. And since it was not demanded by the Torah, you should not have brought it. You know, going into the Kodesh, Kodesh Kodeshim, going in is only permitted when the Torah says it's permitted. You can't do it otherwise. Okay, so that's the description of the Aveira. The description of the Aveira. Now listen to what Rashi says. You see below Rashi? Rabbi Lezer Omer. Lometu b'nei Aaron ela al yidei shahuru halacha b'tnei Moshe Rabban. Okay, this is a little odd. Rashi gets it from the Gemara, but what does it mean? What does it mean? What would prompt Rabbi Lezer to say that the sin of Nadav v'Avihu was that they usurped the halakhic authority of Moshe Rabbeinu and decided on their own to do it? What could have brought Rabbi Elazar to say such a thing? I mean, it's not indicated in the pasuk at all. I mean, why make up such a story where the pasuk says quite clearly? The pasuk says likely they it was an Eisara. What do you have to add on the fact? This immediately Rabbi Lazar is saying that there's something odd about this story. And that if not for the fact that they didn't ask Moshe Rabbeinu's permission, they would have gotten away with it. But because they didn't ask Moshe Rabbeinu, they were summarily punished. Right? Rabbi Yishmael Omer. Along comes Rabbi Yishmael, and he says, everybody knows this Rashi. He said, Shtuye Yayin Nichnasu L'Mikdash. Shtuye Yayin. Everybody knows that the next parasha in Shmini, Hashem says to Aaron HaKohen, don't drink whiskey, or don't drink sheikhar before you go into the Beit HaMikdash. It is prohibited. But if Hashem said that to Aaron after Nadav Avihu died, how could Rabbi Yishmael say that that was their sin? How were they supposed to know that you're not allowed to go into the Beit HaMikdash if you're drunk? Since it hasn't been stated yet. Well, maybe you could put all of this together somehow, but let's go on first. Teda shachar mitatam hizhir hanotarim shelo yikansu shtuye yayin lamikdash. He says, Rashi says, after this all happened, there was a specific command given by God to Aaron and his children that they should not drink
before they go and do avodah in the Beit HaMikdash. Okay, that's enough for Rashi. The Mashal is left out. It's in Vayikra Rava. Let's go to the next Pasuk. Pasuk Bet. Pasuk Bet, you see it? But they say, Eish Milifnei Hashem. Mi Lifnei Hashem. Right? Where did they do their Aveira? Lifnei Hashem. Where did the fire come out from? Mi Lifnei Hashem. Okay, by Yomei Moshe, Eser. But they say, Eish Lifnei Hashem, Betochal Otam, Vayamutu, Nochamu Lifnei Hashem. So this is the punishment. The punishment was not a regular punishment. It was like, not by Korach. Remember Korach? How was he punished? The earth swallowed him up. This is a very special kind of punishment, that the fire of heaven consumed them. What does the fire in heaven usually do? What does it consume, the fire? The korban. So it looks like the punishment seems to indicate that Nadav v'Avihu became a korban. They themselves were sacrificed. Oh yeah. So if they were sacrificed, is that good or bad? Does it say that they are good and say that they are bad? I mean, we know that Yitzchak was sacrificed. God said to Avraham Avinu, "V'alei Sham Lo'olah," sacrifice him. Which seems to indicate to me that if a father will carry out the divine demand to sacrifice his son, in some way, that's a good thing. The fact is that the angel told Avraham Avinu, "Al taslo l'una, don't do it. Don't do it." Well, how do you explain that? What does that mean? Don't do it. Well, one possible explanation is that if you, Abraham, were capable of doing something so difficult only because God told you to do it, then it would be acceptable. But since we don't know if you could do that, there can never be such a sacrifice. We know from ancient different kinds of literatures, right? Greek literature, Moabite literature, not too much, Greek, very big, that sacrificing children was not an unknown demand. Right? It's something that people who wanted to show their great devotion were able to do. Right? Sacrificing children. It sounds horrible to us, but it was around. It was around until the Torah said, no, you can't do it. But apparently, because you can't muster up the faith necessary, there are too many negative things involved, like the purity of the act is not acceptable, it's not conceivable. You can't do that. So that's what it says. That's what it says in the Pasuk, where you mutu lifnei Hashem, everything is lifnei Hashem, lifnei Hashem. Pasuk Gimel, Vayomer Moshe l'Aaron, Hu asher dibei Hashem le'mor. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes and he says to Aaron, he's going to be Menachem him. Right? He consoles him. His two sons, his older sons, were just swallowed up by a fire from heaven because they did something wrong. What possible consolation could there be for the father of these two sons? So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hu asher dibei Hashem, this is what God meant when he said, Bikrovai Ekadesh. Bikrovaya Kadeshu. Sounds like it means those close to me, I will be sanctified by that. Bikrovaya Kadeshu. Which again sounds like, what are we saying about Nadav Avihu? Good people or bad people? Bikrovaya Kadeshu sounds like?
Good.
Like they're good. There was this whole story about the Eitz Hara. What is all of that? If they're good people, Bikrovaya Kadeshu,
So Aaron hears these words, "V'alpnei kol ha'am ekaveh." He says, I will be honored. Vayidom Aharon. Vayidom Aharon. It's like, this is like a mystery. What is Vayidom Aharon? He was quiet. What was he quiet about? I imagine he didn't know whether to be happy or to cry. He didn't know really what happened. What does Rashi say? How does Rashi explain it? Who asher diber? Echad diber? So Rashi says, Moshe Rabbeinu said, this is what God said. Where did God say this? V'no'adeti shama l'vnei Yisrael, v'nekdash b'chvodi, so he quotes the Pasuk, al tikre b'chvodi, ela b'chubadi. That the Pasuk is really talking about people who express kavod for Hashem. Amar lo Moshe l'Aaron, Aaron Achicha, listen to this Rashi. You know, Rashi, he's the creator of the Chumash that we learn. I mean, Rashi is not a commentary in the sense that he makes it easier for you to go through the Chumash. Rashi is the redactor of the Chumash. I don't like to use that word redactor because it reminds us of the wrong things. But Rashi is the redactor of the Torah. What is the Torah? It is what Rashi says it is. That's what happened. You can't learn Chumash without Rashi. Anybody, there's no Jew who learns Chumash without Rashi. So Rashi wrote the Chumash, so to speak. He didn't write it. He didn't use material that he invented. But he kind of invented our focus. And what does Rashi say about this Pasuk? Look. He says, out Amrulo Moshe Amalo Moshe Aaron. Moshe goes to Aaron and he says, Aaron Achi, Yodea Hayiti She Yitkadesh Abayit Bimyudaav Shomakom. I knew that this house, this Mishkan, this tabernacle would be sanctified Bimyudaav Shomakom. From those who know God, who are close to God, who are near God. And he said, Hayiti savur obi obicha. And I thought to myself, who are these people who know God, who could sanctify the Mishkan? So I said, either you are, or it's me, Moshe. Achshav ro'ani. Shehem gedolim mimeni u'mimcha. Oh, isn't that Rashi? Is that obvious? Is that obvious Rashi? Rashi says that the act of the sacrificial act of turning Nadav Avihu into a ketoret, the fire came down to heaven. This was the sanctification of the Mishkan. Sanctification, that's good. Positive word. And then Mount Moshe Rabbeinu said, I want you to know, Aaron, I thought it would be you or me who would be the sanctifiers of the Mishkan, but now I see it's your sons, Nadav Avihu. So that sounds to me like a pretty positive position. You can't get much more positive. So even though they were Makriv and Esara, maybe the Esara that they was not so terrible. It was an Esara. But the purpose somehow was to sanctify the Mishkan, according to this Rashi. And that sanctification was done by burning up the sanctifiers. That's how close they came. How close they came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayidom Aharon, he was quiet. Kibel sachar al shtikato. Maschar ki kibel, he says he received a reward for being quiet. What was his reward? Shedit yachedi mo adibur, shenemra lo levado pashat shtuyei yai. What was the reward that Aaron received? The next parasha, the parasha of Shtuyei Yayin, the parasha that says, that you, Aaron, and your sons and all the Kohanim cannot drink before you go to do the Avodah of the Beit HaMikdash, by the Be'a Hashem El Aharon. Not El Moshe, El Aharon, but El Aharon. So that Aaron recognized the fact that the death of his sons was in some way so important. What he had managed to educate them to do, to be, to act, was so important that he received a parasha in the Torah that was given to him directly without the intermediary of Moshe Rabbeinu. So I ask you again, Nadav and Avihu, were they good or were they bad? Did they do a good thing, did they do a bad thing? Certainly Rashi is confusing us here and there. The end of that pasuk, says, Al Pnei Kol Ha'am Ekavei, right, Rashi says, Al Pnei Kol Ha'am Ekavei, Shekodesh Baruch Hu Tzedin B'Tzadikim, Mityareu Mitaleh Mitkaleh, so Shekodesh Baruch Hu brings justice into the world to the righteous. We praise God. In Kain Be'elu, Kol Shekain, B'Rishav, If a judgment of the tzaddikim is praiseworthy, certainly a judgment of the rishaim is praiseworthy. Kol shekein b'rishaim. Many quotes of pasuk. I think there's one more pasuk. Maybe more. Oh, there's more. Pasuk dalet. Vayikra Moshe el Mishael v'al Tzafan b'nei Uziel dod Aharon. Vayomer Alehem kirvu se'u et achecha meit p'nei ha-kodesh el michutz la-machal ha-mi'eit p'nei ha-kodesh. Take them away from p'nei ha-kodesh. Again, panim, but we'll go on, right? Pasuk, hey, vayikrivu vayisa'um b'kutanotam el michutz la-machanech asher diber Moshe. Vayomer Moshe, pasuk vav. Vayomer Moshe el Aharon Elazar Itamar Banav Vashechem al Tifra'u Uvigdechem lo Tifromu Velo Tamutu Val Kol Haida Yiktsof Vachechem Kol Beit Yisrael Yivku Et Asrifa Asher Zorav Hashem. So this terrible event, this Avelut, mourning, everybody's mourning the death of Nadav Avihu. Why would you mourn the death of a sinner? Why would you mourn the death of those who were punished? That's not so clear. And the last pasuk is Ipetachol Mu'ed Lo Teitzu Pentamutu Kishevim Shchat Hashem Aleichem V'yatzu Kibarashem. So what I wanted to say, we'll leave out the last Rashi. What I wanted to try to explain was that Nadav v'Avihu in Rashi are not obvious personalities. Even though the Torah says Eish Zara, and even though Eish Zara sounds to be something against the rules, against the halakha, and even though it's the same word as Zar HaKarev Yumat, stepping over a boundary, there seems to be a lack of clarity in Chazal, as presented to us by Rashi, right, about the nature of these people, Nadav v'Avihu. Who were they? What did they do? I don't mean we know they're the sons of Aaron, but what did they do? And how bad was it? And could it have happened otherwise? All of these questions come up because we learned Rashi. Now I want to just look at the Rashbam for a minute. You know the Rashbam, I told you many times, the Rashbam was Rashi's grandson. And he considers himself to be the one who continued the Rashi kind of interpretation. Except that he says himself that he had a certain kind of interest in what he calls pshat. He, the Rashbam, calls pshat. Like he says, sometimes Rashi went too far and quoted material that took you away from the pshat. So he's going to bring us back. He, the Rashbam, is going to bring us back to Rashi. So it's an interesting study. Did that give you an idea when you learn Rashi? Whatever you learn over Pasuk in Rashi, take a look and see if there's a Rashbam. Anyway, there were other Mefarshim that disagree with Rashi. Yes, I mean, that's certainly true. But the Rashbam is nuanced disagreement. Like in principle, he accepts the authority of Rashi. He sets on himself. The Rashbam wrote that in his introduction to his commentary, which for some odd reason is printed in the beginning of the parasha of Vayeshev. Remember Vayeshev, Yaakov, Yosef? Remember that? Just Breshit. We did that already. But in the beginning of Vayeshev, there's a very long introductory paragraph written by the Rashbam about his own enterprise. Like, what am I doing? He says, well, I'm with Rashi, he says. In fact, he asked Rashi for permission to write his commentary, because he knew that Rashi's commentary was very important. He didn't want to seem at odds with Rashi in some way. So he asked him. He went and asked his grandfather, is it okay if I write a perush on the Chumash? And then he said, what is my perush going to be? He said, l'fi ha'pshatim ha'mitchatshim b'chol yom. All the new kinds of, well, I don't know exactly what he meant, but the new pshatim, the new simple, straightforward meaning. Right? You know that that's the difference between pshat and drash. Pshat and drash. What's a drash? A drash is never changing. Never changes. It's there. You can't write a drash. A drash is the musings of Chazal. That's a drash. What's a pshat? A pshat changes all the time. Like somebody looks and finds out the new meaning for the word zara, so you have a new pshat. But it doesn't affect the drash. The drash is a traditional rendition. It comes from the teachers to the students. That's a drash. Pshat. You can invent it. You invented it. People like it, so it's good. They don't like it, they just won't pay any attention. So let's look at the Rashbam on this topic. Vayikhu b'nei Aaron Nadav v'Avihu, kodem sheyatzah ha'esh b'lifnei Hashem, kvar lakhu ish machzato laktir ketoret lifanav al mizbach hazahav. What's he talking about? What's he talking about? So let's look at the top of the sheet. See the top of the sheet, Vayikra Perek Tet. These are the last psukim in Perek Tet. Perek Yud is Nadav Avihu. The last psukim, what was happening? You know that Moshe Rabbeinu put up the Mishkan and took down the Mishkan, put up the Mishkan, Yemei Milu'im. At the end, on the last day, Moshe Rabbeinu invested Aaron with the authority of the priesthood. He made Aaron into a priest on the last day. Everybody is waiting there for something glorious to happen. They're bringing a sacrifice. They brought a sacrifice, chatat, and they brought a ketoret, and they're waiting for something to happen. And Moshe Rabbeinu says to Aaron, you're the man. Up to now, I did it. I, Moshe Rabbeinu, did it during the main Miluim, but now, on the last day of the Milu'im, you, Aaron, are taking over. You're taking over. So the Pasuk says, Vayavo Moshe v'Aaron. Both of them came together, Ol Mo'ed. Ol Mo'ed is a synonym for the Mishkan. In the middle of the Mishkan was the Ol Mo'ed, right? The tent of meeting, where people got together, where the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodoshim were. Vayetzu, Vayavo Moshe v'Aaron el Ol Mo'ed. I guess they went in. And then it says, Vayetzu, they came out. Vayivarchu et ha'am. And they blessed the people. They, plural, Vayivarchu et ha'am, Moshe and Aaron. Vayirach kavod Hashem el kol ha'am. And suddenly everybody saw kavod Hashem. What did they see exactly? It doesn't say in the Pasuk, but they saw something. When they were at Har Sinai, what did they see? They saw clouds. What did they hear? There was a fire and noise. And what did they see here? We don't know. But they say, Eish, milifnei Hashem, v'tochal al ha-mizbeach et ha-olah, v'et ha-chalavim. Right? The fire came out of heaven, milifnei Hashem, right? You see that phrase again? V'tochal al ha-mizbeach et ha-olah, the sacrifice and the fats, v'yakol ha'am v'yaronu, v'yiklu al p'nei heaven. So something great happened. Something great happened at the end of the Bimei Miluim, that God somehow signaled to the people that God was pleased with the building of the Mishkan, with the giving of the Korban. And the Korban was eaten up by the fire from heaven. So now let's look at the Rashbam again. You see the Rashbam? Back to the Rashbam. Before we look, well, then we'll look at Rashi. First the Rashbam. The Rashbam says, Yechub b'nei Aaron Nadav v'Avihu, Kodem shiyatzai ish b'lefnei Hashem. Kodem. The ish b'lefnei Hashem is the end of Perek Tesh that we just learned. So even before that, Nadav v'Avihu, Laku ish machdato l'haktir ketores l'fadnim al mizbach ha-zahav. Mizbach ha-zahav. So each of them, Nadav and Avihu, they took their censers, and they were going to bring a sacrifice on Mizbach HaZahav. Sharei Ketoret Shel Shachar Kodemet Le'evarim. So the Rashbam tells us halacha. The Ketoret Shel Shachar means the incense offering given in the morning. Kodemet Le'emurim. Evarim. Evarim are all the innards that were burned on the Mizbeach. ונתן בהם אש זרה אשר לא ציווה אותם משה ביום הזה. He says, on the one hand, the Rashbam says, they were halachically with it, Nadav v'Avihu, because they knew that the Ketoret should be given when? Before the parts, the animal parts that were sacrificed should be burnt on the Mizbeach. He says, but Ketoret Shel Shachar Kodemet Le'evarim, v'natnu b'hen eish zara, asher lo tzivah otam Moshe b'yom hazeh. So now you remember Rabbi Yishmael in the Rashi, or Rabbi Eliezer, right? You remember Rabbi Eliezer said they didn't ask Moshe Rabbeinu? They knew something, but they didn't get the tzivui from Moshe Rabbeinu. They didn't do anything wrong, exactly. V'natnu b'hen eish zara, asher lo tzivah otam Moshe b'yom hazeh. You have to follow this Rashbam carefully. The Rashbam says, Nadav v'Avihu, did they do the right thing or the wrong thing? Well, they did the right thing. They were halakhically correct, but they did the wrong thing because they didn't wait for Moshe Rabbeinu to tell them to do it. And so they may have had knowledge about Korbanot, but that knowledge came to them from some kind of academic source. You know, they had a book. They learned the book, they knew about Korbanot, but they did not get a directive from Moshe Rabbeinu until the Eish Zara. Shelo Tzivah Otam Moshe V'yom HaZeh, Shavu Pisha B'Sha'ar Yamin, K'teiv, V'natnu B'nei Aaron Nekla Eish Al HaMizbeach, Hayom Lo Tzivah, V'lo Yatsa Moshe She'yaviu Eish Shel Hed Yotz, Levisha Yumitzabim Liridat Eishka Goha. Because Moshe Rabbeinu had a reason for not telling them. Because he wanted the people to be overwhelmed by the fire that came down from heaven and not from some fire. Hedyot. Hedyot means it was not commanded, it was not directed. Right? Hedyot is the opposite of professional. Right? It's anybody could be a Hedyot. He says, the fish are human sapili without eish kavua. Velotov ayom lavi eish zara. And this is not a good day, Moshe Rabbeinu said, to bring a foreign kind of fire. Kedei litkadesh shem shamayim. Shiyadu hayom ki eish bavin ha-shamayim. And so that was the tension. So if you see this Rashbam, suddenly Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yishmael, are clarified to us. It wasn't that they did anything wrong. in the essence of it. But they kind of mismanaged the Torah. The Torah said that you do what you do based on the authority that passes down the information to you. It's not true that everybody can go and decide on his own what should be done, even if you have a good svara. Because the Torah doesn't live on good svarot. The Torah lives on the tradition of interpretation that's passed down from the authority to the students, from the authority to the authority to the students. And so not asking Moshe Rabbeinu was a breach of an essential Torah position. That's what the Rashbam said. But the Rashbam has brought us a little closer to understanding, what it is that... Okay, I would like to learn these Rashis also, but I wouldn't have time. You have to learn these Rashis yourself. I won't have time to look at the Nitziv. And I want to look at the Nitziv. You know the Nitziv? Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. Right, he had a son who changed his name from Berlin to Bar Ilan. Mayor Bar Ilan, and that's the person that the university Bar Ilan is named after, like an illustrious family. The Nitziv was the Rosh Yeshiva of Halajim for 40 years. Maybe even more than 40 years. Until it closed. He closed the Yeshiva of Halajim because the Russian Ministry of Education insisted that they put in secular studies, secular learning in the yeshiva. And for a while, I mean, this was going on for a while, the Nitziv somehow was willing to play around with this, right, to make believe that he did it. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, these stories repeat themselves in Jewish history. But finally he realized that the Russians were adamant. Of course, you know, there were Jews who pushed them in that direction, like the Maskilim, the new intelligentsia of the Jewish people, was against the old style, you know, like learning in the old way. And they wanted to, so in order to make sure that that would change, they pointed to the yeshiva in Volozhin as a place in which modern kind of learning did not exist. And so the Russians wanted to close. But finally, the Russians wanted to change it. But finally, the Nitziv realized that he couldn't control the situation, so he closed the yeshiva and moved to Warsaw. Those of you who have been to, you know, these Poland trips, so you always go one day to Warsaw. In Warsaw, you go to the cemetery. In the cemetery, there's an ohel, and buried in the same ohel is Rav Chaim Soloveitchik and the Nitziv, who were related to each other, but both of them were for a while in the yeshiva in Volozhin. The Nitziv remained, Rav Chaim left and went to Brisk, where he became a Brisker. I think it's good to know a little bit about the people who wrote what it is we're trying to learn. So listen to the Nitziv. We'll look at the beginning. Bnei Aharon Nadav Avihu. Is that what the pasuk says? You see, pasuk Perek Yud pasuk Aleph. Vayichu Bnei Aharon Nadav Avihu. Vayichu Bnei Aharon Nadav Avihu. Now, it's hard to make an issue out of that, but the Nitziv managed. Look at this. He's a locative. Nadav Avihu Bnei Aharon. Is there a difference between Bnei Aharon Nadav Avihu, or you say Nadav Avihu Bnei Aharon? He says Mitandashu B'Torah Kohanim V'Mechilta the Miluim. It doesn't matter what that all is. Shelo Chalku Kavod LaAharon Shenhagu Kimo Shelo Hayu Banah. That's why it says in the pasuk, "Bnei Aharon," and who are they? Nadav Avihu. That somehow there's a disconnect between Aharon
and his sons. He had sons. But if there was no disconnect, it would have said, Nadav Avihu b'nei Aharon. Shenagu k'moshe lo ayu banav. V'hachin nidrash v'pagav v'yishlach v'yikushte b'nei Yaakov Shimon v'levi. So he says there's another pasuk. Shnei b'nei Yaakov Shimon v'levi also. Right? Remember Shimon v'levi?
Yeah.
They went to war against Shechem. Hamor, yes, went to war, and that was against Yaakov's wishes. He didn't want them. He didn't want them to go to war. So in that pasuk, it also says, "Vayichu shnei b'nei Yaakov, Shimon v'Levi." So there's like a disconnect implied between the children and the fathers. The children and the fathers. Esarai, you see, I want to skip a little bit. You see about seventh line, Ezra Shalosi Zartav. Ena Lashon Miduyak, he said. This is not perfectly clear. Shari Asura Yalavi Ezra. Ve'ef Shayach Lomar Asherlot Tziva. Dimashma Asherlot Nisaru Alzeh. Asherlot Nisaru Avodizor Kohen Gadol. He says it can't be. It can't be that they wanted to bring an Ezra Shalot Tziva. But it's the same thing. Vayem Ashikatav Baal Haturim Obederch Drash and Iska forgot Shinich Nisa Me Eish Hit Lahavut Shel Avat Hashem Harchavat Dava. You're right. But really, so what happens, we're going to get to it in a minute. Shinich Nisu שנכנסו מאש התלהבות של אבת השם ואמרה תורה דאב אגב דאבת השם יקרא היא בעיני השם אבל לא בזה הדרך אשר לא ציבה לא שכתב לאל בשל יותר הכהנים על הפסוק ויום המשה זה הדבר. So again, according to the Nitziv, but the way the Nitziv is going to get us out of this problem is by saying the following, that what prompted Nadav Avihu was Avat Hashem. What is Avat Hashem? Well, it's like Ahava. It's like Ahava, it's not controllable. That's what real Ahava is. Real Ahava, as you know, is not controllable. If you have to protect your children, there's no rationale. You never say, oh, this I'm not going to be able to handle. So, you know, let the kid get hit by a car. I mean, who would say a thing like that? What parent would act in that way? Being a parent produces, I mean, I'm talking about regular people, normal people, right? I know there are crazy people in the world. Being a parent produces unbridled ahava, so that if you find that one of your children is in danger, you run smack at the danger and go to save him. You don't think about it. That's what ahava is. So what is ahavat Hashem? Ahavat Hashem is unbridled love of God. You just have to go where God is. If God indicates that He is somewhere, so you've got to go there. That's the unbridled love, and that according to the Nitziv, was the illness that Nadav and Avihu suffered from. So if you look at the Harchev Davar, you see that's the paragraph further down, there's a paragraph. Harchev Davar is the Nitziv's commentary on the Nitziv. That was good. You know, it's like a way of saving paper. But he rewrote, he used to say the Shiurim in the Yeshiva. So he would go through the whole, you know, psukim every year. And then, you know, after many years, he had this whole commentary. What does Archeim Davar mean? Yesh lazbir tam ha-shinui. V'sham k'tiv shnei b'nei Yaakov, v'kan k'tiv b'nei Aharon. V'hinei sham b'yarnu, mashmot shnei, sh'ayu nechnasim l'oto ma'aseh. Shelo b'da'at achat yiyan sham. He says, what does shnei mean? Why do you have the day there, Shnei? After all, two.
Why do you say there are two? Everybody knows the shem of a lady is two. What if you say there are two of them? Right? One is called shem and one is called lady. So you, most people can add one plus one to get two. Why does the Torah tell us that there were two? So the answer is, Shayu nechnasim loto maaseh shelo bedat achat. There were two of them. They weren't the same. They weren't one. Masha ein ken kan. Shnehem nechnesu bederech echan shel avat Hashem. Right? Here, it doesn't say Shnei b'nei Aharon. It says b'nei Aharon nadav avihu. That they were the same, they were together in this mitzvah of Avat Hashem. Lo yechul d'apek ala tshuka lasig da'at v'kavod elokim. They could not refrain from understanding more about God and coming close to the glory of God. Uv'rov tshuka nechmesu lahaktir v'heichal. And because of this great desire that they had, they went in to give a korban in the heichal, right, the kodesh. The heichal. The ktoret u'davar ha-mevi liyad hitkarvut yitera l'shamayim. And we know that the ktoret, the incense offering, brings you closer to heaven. V'al kein nivchar ha-ktoret l'haran ish, right, the 250 men b'machloket Korach, or Korach, Asher gam heima nit'atzmu b'zol ha'tshuka yoter me'amida, k'moshe bi'anu sham. Okay, so this is the idea of the Netziv. The idea of the Netziv is that Nadav v'Avihu suffered from a tremendous love of God. And that love of God directed them so clearly that they even were willing to jeopardize themselves in order to fulfill that love that they had. Which, as I argue, is a factor, a feature of love. That's what love is. Love is you're willing to go beyond what seems reasonable, rational, understandable. That's the parents and the children, the mothers and the babies. Right? It's quite clear that there's a point at which rational thinking, right, gives in to Ahava, to love. And so Nadav HaAvihu, it's not easy to determine what they did, but there's no doubt that they did something wondrous. It was not something that the Torah could put up with. The Torah could not accept Nadav HaAvihu as a model for denying the principle of Hazor HaKarev Yumat, a principle that was invented in Matan Torah. After all, Moshe Rabbeinu went up on the mountain and everybody else waited for him down below. Now you know that Bnei Yisrael were lacking this feature of Avat Hashem, because when Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, "We'll go up to get the rest of the Torah," they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "No, no, you go. We'll wait for you. When you come down, you'll teach us the Torah." So the Nadav HaAvihu, the story of the Nadav HaAvihu, is almost a tikkun in the Hasidic sense for the mess that Bnei Yisrael made. I mean, why was it that Bnei Yisrael were able to build the golden calf, the Egel HaZahav? I mean, what was the koach that they have standing in Har Sinai and receiving the Torah? I mean, what kind of inner strength did it take to build an idol and worship it? And how did they do that? Well, because the Avat Hashem was missing. They knew there was a God. They knew that God was powerful. They didn't want to rush into the jaws of the fire. That they were not willing to do. And so they were able to build. They were able to build the golden calf in some way. Nadav HaAvihu. And that's why Nadav HaAvihu are repeated again and again. And sometimes it happened in history that we had this tremendous debt to Nadav Avihu because he reinstated Ahavat Hashem. They reinstated Ahavat Hashem as a critical part of our faith system. We are the ones who love God, but we also know that the unbridled love exhibited by Nadav Avihu, while it's something wondrous in itself, could not be tolerated by the nation. To be a nation, you have to make compromises. Nation can't work where everybody does their own thing. But that's only for young people. But a nation has to have standards. People have to know when they're in. And so even if there isn't that level of Avat Hashem, even if you are aware of the prohibition of Azar Akarei Yumat, you could still be in. That's what the Torah says. And the Mishkan tells you that here's God right over there, but you can't go there. That's not for you. That's just an idea. And so Nadav Avihu are repeated four times in the Torah, because this idea is an idea that religious people, I mean, you know, sincere people, often fall on this point. They say, I'm going to leave the rules. I'm going to do more than the rules. I'm going to do better than the rules. And that is not a possibility for a nation. The nation cannot exist if everybody goes and fights the rules on their own. So Nadav Avihu taught us this lesson. The Torah repeats the death of Nadav Avihu again and again, four times in all. Have a good Shabbos. Oh, next week there's a shiur. Next week there's a shiur. The week after that there's probably no shiur. And the week after that there'll be a shiur on the Haggadah. So have it. Next week there is a shiur. The week after that there's probably no shiur. The week after that there's a shiur on the Haggadah. This year's Haggadah.